Cool. So there's a lot of people gone. But there's also a lot more people here than I was hoping for. as you know, I'm not really very good with this speaking in front of people thing. So if I don't make eye contact with you, please don't feel offended. It's just because I'm probably nervous and I'm looking at my notes. Okay. So reiterate that this is not out of my own strength. It's only the Holy Spirit that is allowing me to be able to stand here and bring you guys this message. Just as a sort of introduction, a start. Hey, I'm parched. Okay. I'd like to thank Manus for this opportunity. I know he's going to listen to this. So, thank you for this opportunity, Manus, to share my heart a little bit in front of you guys. I had a lot of time to prepare. I actually got called up on Tuesday, so it's quite a, you guys aren't getting my jokes at all. Anyways, I hope you I've actually written here. I said, please appreciate the intricacy of my slides. Okay, cool. Oh, no. All jokes. All jokes aside, there's one. Okay. All jokes aside, when I met up with Manus on Thursday, I was in Cape Town for a little bit visiting my mom, and I flew back on Thursday. And Thursday night, I just had a quick pep talk with him just to make sure that the doctrine I was preaching was 100%. It's cool. There's accountability. I met up with him on Thursday to talk about what I was going to share today. And he told me something very profound, as Manus usually does. He said he heard Fred say once that although all pastors and preachers have got many different messages to preach, there's really only one topic that they can preach on. And that's the testimony of their lives. So we all really only have one great sermon, and that's the life that we live and the testimony our lives have produced. So I apologize in advance if you're hoping for a sermon on the doctrine of Christianity or how you're going to better your life now or anything like that. It's not going to happen. Please don't be offended. Today I'll mostly be talking about my own testimony, my own experiences, what God has done in my life in the last few years especially. Just sharing something that I feel is God has spoken very loudly in my life over the last few years. So I believe that the greatest lie the devil has been able to make us believe is that we are insignificant, that we are unqualified, and that we are worthless. When we are actually conquerors, we're royalty, we're mighty, and we're very, very relevant in this kingdom and in this world. Amen? Amen. Cool. So I'd like to actually just, don't have to stick up your hand or anything like that, just a quick question, just to think about. Have you ever felt unqualified? I'm going to ask a few of these. Like, you don't really have the ability to do this Christianity thing because the people around you seem so perfect. Like, what you could bring is not much or of much worth. Like, perhaps you should back away rather than pray for that person or give this guy advice or go on a mission or even just talk to somebody. Like, you're not spiritual enough. Like, you need to be sorted out in a serious way before God can use you. Just a few questions. Like I said, I haven't got slides. But if you do have a Bible or a phone or something, take it out. I'm going to read out of 1 Peter 2 verse 9. So very simply, all those questions are answered. It's amazing how the solution to everything is in here. We just don't want to read it. Eh? And the solution to all of our problems and our trials and everything that we want is in this Bible, in God's Word. And we don't pick it up, eh? Get too busy, I suppose. I don't know, I'm not going to get doctrinal with it. But this is what I can read you. All those questions I've asked you before, this is what God says. This is what the Word says. I'm not making this up out of myself. This is what God actually says. Okay. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's, again, that's not something I said. That's something the Bible says. That's what God says. So it's not my own teachings, nothing like it. This is what God says. And then I've got another one, just to, in case you're thinking maybe it's just a fluke. All right. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I hope I don't tear my Bible in half. My hands are shaking so much. Okay. Right. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Again, it's not something I'm saying. It's not something that I'm saying you are cool or you're a legend or you're amazing. This is what God is saying. This is what God says to us. It's hard to argue with that, eh? It's hectic. So, it kind of brings me to the question, why do we feel like that? Why do we feel unqualified? Why do we feel like we, don't belong, like we should back down, all of those things I said earlier. Why do you feel like that? Is it, if this is what God is speaking over us, if this is the word that's being preached over us, and I heard somebody once say that when you read the Bible, you should read as though God is personally speaking to you. And if that is what God is saying personally to us, then why do we feel like that? Perhaps it's because we live in an age where there's so many spiritual giants, if you want to call them spiritual giants, that we've come to believe that this is what spiritual success looks like. And if we're not doing that, we're not making a difference in the kingdom. If we're not following that fingerprint, if you're not following that path, if you're not a mighty evangelist, or you're not, starting churches all over the world, or you're not a prophet, or if you're not doing that, then you're not mighty in the kingdom. Perhaps it's that. Perhaps we've become so religious in our mindsets and so task-orientated in our lives that we confuse our spiritual walk with some Hollywood movie where there's a start, the hero has some inner turmoil, and he has a breakthrough, and then he achieves success, you know. Perhaps we're so influenced by the things that we look at, we want to relate our lives to that. Perhaps it's our eagerness to align ourselves with what the accuser speaks over us. Because that's really what we do many times, eh? You think that, it says we're new creations. We're new creations, 2 Corinthians, it says you're a new creation. So if you're a new creation, why do you have these thoughts? Why is that happening? It's because of the time, all the time, sorry. It's not your own thoughts. Those are thoughts that are being planted by the enemy, and you actually need to take those thoughts captive, as Scripture says, take it captive, because it's not from God. But so many times we align ourselves with the lies that He actually speaks over us. You're not good enough. You're not a person that can speak in front of people. Why do you think you want to go speak in front of people? You know? And that's lies. It's lies, guys. I'm not going to tell you what your reason is. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's got their own reason why they feel unqualified. You're going to have to go pray about it, sort it out with God. And that's the amazing thing of being able to be in relationship with Him, being able to talk with Him, that we have the ability to not just speak to Him, but hear from Him as well. So I'm just going to take some water as well, quick. I can't tell you what the solution is. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to get into doctrine. But I see the pain in the body, and I know what the truth is. And the truth is what God says over us, that we are a royal priesthood, we are a chosen nation, we are qualified, and no matter what you think or what situation you find yourself in, you are actually capable, more than conquerors. You're more than a conqueror in Christ who strengthens you. As I said earlier, the message I'm bringing might not be anything fresh or new. You know, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for us, that we may have full access to God the Father, full access, so that the relationship could be restored, that it is because of grace that we are saved, sanctified, and made righteous. You know, my grandmother, I've got an amazing Oma. She's 92 years old, and she still works outside in the garden. It's just amazing to me every time when I came down now, then my mom said, maybe we should just phone Oma, because now my brothers and sisters are all going to hear this as well. But I'm definitely the favorite of all the grandchildren. And everybody knows it as well. But so when I was down in Cape Town, she actually said, my mom said, you know, maybe just, let's just phone Oma, because it was a big surprise that I came down. Let's just phone Oma, because, you know, I don't want to surprise her and that she actually dies. So we phoned her and said, so we went and visited her. But she also, her thing, and this is sort of like the life testimony that she has lived, and whenever you ask her anything about religion or God or anything, she'll just give you this plain and simple answer. There go I, by the grace of God. And it's a simple message. If we complicate things so easily, guys, Christianity is a simple message. It wasn't meant to be preached to intellectual people. It was meant to be preached to the whole world. By grace we are saved. And so my prayer for you today is that that head knowledge, I mean, you might have heard it a million times before, that by grace I'm saved. Because God is big, because God is amazing, because He is all powerful, I don't have to back down. I don't have to be scared. I am qualified for all situations. Now, that might be something you've heard before, but I really pray that today that sort of sinks down to the heart and it stops being something that's here in your head and it actually infiltrates your heart and your life, and that it'll actually start going, flowing through into actions with your everyday life. You know, it may be just a short testimony on being unqualified. when I was in my final year of studies, then I had to try and figure something out. If I was going to go into honors, I applied for honors. I actually got in, barely by the skin of my teeth. I was like number 21 out of 23 or something. So my marks were just there. And the next year would obviously, it would have been a bit of a challenge financially. I would have had to wangle something. So I decided I'm going to apply for a bursary up. And I applied for a bursary at Harmony Gold. It's a big mining company in Johannesburg. I think I applied for about 100 bursaries out of sort of eagerness. And this application I sent in, and there's probably about 1,000 people in a year that apply for this bursary. And me knowing the natural, looking at it going, you are not the smartest guy even in your class, never mind South Africa. How's this going to work? But I just say, Lord, I have faith. I know that you're my provider, you're my king, and you make me qualified. And so sent the application. I actually got a call back from them. They said, Guy, we want you to come for a couple of tests. We're going to do some head tests on you or something. I don't know what they were. I had to make a whole bunch of little connect the dots and all of that. That was quite a lot of fun. And so I remember walking in, it was probably about 100 people in this school hall, and I did my test, and I finished it, and I thought, hey, goodness me, everybody's still writing. I kind of got up uncomfortably, and I walked outside in the natural, and I know I'm not like the most intellectual guy here. So how did this happen? I clearly missed something. And then I just walked out, and I was like, you know what? Okay, if I've missed it, I've missed it now. And I actually got invited back. Can you believe it? I made the shortlist, one of 12 people, to get an interview with sort of the panel, the head guys at the mines, and of Harmony Gold, the CEO, and all of those guys. And what really the amazing thing about this was that I wasn't even the only guy from Stellenbosch to go. The guy that was number one in my class was also there, which I found, Lord, okay. I mean, I can compete with these guys, but this guy, I know on the books, he's number one in our class. I'm definitely not qualified to beat him. How's this going to happen? And we went into the interviews, and, you know, it's one of those days in my life where I walked in and, you know, I didn't even know what I said. I don't know what the guy asked me. I just remember that, like, God spoke, eh? And I walked out there, and I was like, yo, Lord, I'm not questioning anymore. You've got this. If I'm going to get this bursary, it's going to be 100% because of you. And I ended up actually getting that bursary. I was chosen, one of how many thousand people. I wasn't even the smartest in my class. I was totally unqualified. But I got the bursary, full bursary, paid for my studies the next year, and I got a job after that, going working in the gold mines, which is a lot of fun. I say that lightly. I just feel so many times it's easy for us to look at the natural and to look at what you're facing. Maybe you don't have a job. Like, I know I've been worked for 3 months, and it's easy for me to look at that and go, oh, how am I going to keep my financial stability? But then just to go, no, it's not about me. It's not me. God's got this. God has qualified me to do all things, to be successful in all things. So if we can go in our Bibles again to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Just to confirm that with the word, I don't want to just tell you stuff. I want God to actually speak. And that's what he does through his word. So again, you know, I think I'm just going to read this. That's the most powerful thing. I'm not going to add any commentary. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's hectic, yeah. Sure. So what does that mean? That means that we're not qualified by our own strength. We're not qualified by our own abilities. We're not good because we live in a certain way, or righteous because of our choices. We are sanctified, saved, and made righteous and qualified by His grace, by His love, by His power. We're not qualified by our actions, but by our faith in the character of an Almighty God. You know, I'm going to say that very slowly again. I took a long time to come up with that line. So, we're not qualified by our actions, but by our faith in the character of an Almighty God. I think the last thing I'm going to do is just share a testimony. Like I said, I'm going to share a lot of testimonies. If you want theology, there's amazing people that do theology in our church. But I'm just going to give you testimony today. So I was actually in 2012, in the beginning of 2012. I had sort of a massive awakening, sort of a line drawn in the sand in my life, where I realized that this is it now. Me and God, we're moving. And in the beginning of 2012, that all kind of happened. And towards the end of it, September, I'd been building relationship with. I was very lucky in Stellenbosch to have Pastor Sias actually mentor me a little bit. And in September, he said, "So Ian, we're going to Egypt on this mission. Do you maybe want to go with?" And you know, I'm a guy that says yes to most things, and I don't really know what I'm putting myself in for. And this was 100% one of those situations where I just said, "Oh, okay, cool, let's do this. Egypt sounds amazing." Now, maybe just a little bit of backstory on the mission. The way I understand it now, I'm not like hectic with the discernment and the spiritual and things like that. But the way I understand it, there was a bunch of hectic guys in hectic organizations. The Bible speaks about powers and principalities. And these guys had actually made a declaration over South Africa and specifically over Africa. And they even in the physical tried to connect a spiritual highway between Cape Town and Cairo to sort of use the country and use the people and the wealth and the resources for the fordering of what they called the New World Order. And it was a really, really hectic stuff that was spoken, and I think there were massive repercussions and massive chains that were actually put over Africa and South Africa because of these declarations that these guys did. And one of the places, or the two places that they did this, was at the Rhodes Memorial in Cape Town and at a temple called Luxor in Cairo. So we were actually, we had gotten word, we had been commissioned, we are going to Luxor, we are going to go pray against this thing now. And I thought, hey, yes sir, this is stuff that's like as old as the age of the earth, now we have to go against this. I thought, hey, I'm way out of my depth here. I mean, I'm just getting to know Jesus since the beginning of 2012, see us what you're talking here. And the amazing thing is that even in the natural, like, I mean, in 2012, Egypt was not in a very good place. It was in sort of ruled by the Muslim Brotherhood at that time, which were, they were very hectically persecuting Christians at that time. A lot of Christians losing their lives, and we had gotten word from quite a lot of people that if we go on this mission and we don't step exactly where God steps and we don't do exactly what He tells us to do, then there's a 99.9999 to 100% chance we won't make it back. So you're 22 years old and you don't tell your mom, "I'm going on a mission and I might not come back." That's not something you do, because then the whole family freaks out. And no, I didn't do that. No, I'm joking. So we went to Egypt. We went to Cairo, and we were walking around in Cairo, and even there again, you just realize the seriousness of the situation, how hectic it is, you know. I mean, we were walking around in places where there were tanks driving around and army personnel with guns everywhere, and it was really a volatile place. You just fly in and you can feel that spiritual atmosphere. Just, it's tense, you know. It was really tense. And I remember walking around there. We went and actually met up with a pastor who was part of one of the churches, one of the underground churches there. And it was amazing to we were supposed to meet up with him through various connections. We met up with him at this one place, and he actually came an hour late, and that was actually just to test our sincerity, because he had been persecuted himself, and lots of things that happened to him. And I remember sitting there going, like, this is a spiritual giant. This man is amazing. Like, this guy just talking, and you can't do anything but weep, because, you know, there's such a sincerity in that guy's eyes that he knows that tomorrow might be his last day. Today might be his last day. The police might come pick him up today, and he'll never see his family again. He'll never see his loved ones ever again, but he's ready for it. And there's a sincerity in his eyes and in his heart that says, I know Jesus, and I'm qualified for this. I'm not going to worry. No, he's got this. So yeah, that was just amazing, amazing, powerful moment in my life where I could just see the raw thing. We in the Western world have lost it, eh? I'm not going to get into that either. But yeah, so from Cairo, we actually took a train out to Luxor. And so took a train out to Luxor. And I remember walking before the night. We were supposed to go to the night, to go sort of pray this declaration at the temple the night. And, I remember we walked into the temple and we walked around there trying to like scout now. How are we going to get in? How's this going to work exactly? Because now it's not just praying. We're going to have to blow shofars on that side as well. And we're going to make a lot of noise. This is a tourist destination. People come in and out of this temple all the time. How are we going to do this? This is just, I mean, we're not qualified for this. And so we walked in into the temple and we're walking around. And I remember standing, for me, this was the most profound moment in that mission trip. We're standing in this temple and we're looking at all these hectic things that, you know, you look at it now, there's how they built those big temples without machinery is just, I mean, I'm not going to speculate on that. But There must have been more than manpower. That's all I'll say. And you can't help but look at it and marvel. You know, there's an interesting thing we learn from the Egyptian Christians is that they don't even take photos of these statues and these temples because they just believe that when you take a photo, you're immortalizing. You are giving power. You are actually glorifying that. And to glorify that means you're not glorifying God. So it's amazing. I mean, just if they bring it back all the way down to that shot, we really appreciate that, going through this water like crazy. So, I mean, we're standing in this temple, and I remove myself a little bit from the group of guys. It was, I mean, there was only five guys going on this mission. And again, like, if you take the guys that were going on this hectic mission, there was four guys and CS, of which it was me, Chris, who was just as much new to the faith as I was at that time, and two other guys, which nobody had ever heard of. Nobody had ever heard of us. We were really not a Reinhard Bonnke or anything like that, you know. And I was standing in this temple, and I remember looking at this, and I was almost in a way going, this is such an amazing temple. This is a magnificent temple, and we're going to take that on tonight. That's hectic, Lord. And I remember God just looking, like, speaking straight to my heart there, saying, Ian, just look down. So I looked down and I said, okay, what now? And he says, what are you standing on? I said, I'm standing on the earth. He says, what's this temple standing on? I'm like, standing on the earth. He says, who made what you're standing on? I was like, okay, cool. You got this. I think it's so easy many times. We look at these amazing things. We look at the magnificence of, I mean, the powers and the principalities and their, you know, their influence and their money and their connections and how they've infiltrated government. And we go into these conspiracy theories about them and we get distracted from the glory of God and just the amazing power, the raw power that words created. He spoke, and there was, you know. And so that there, I was just told, I was like, Lord, I'm not, you've got this. You don't even need me. So we went out, we came back the night, and it was just amazing to stand in front of the temple. We didn't even preach. We got word that we're not even going to speak out of our own flesh. We're not going to pray out of our own flesh. We're just going to pray the word of God. And we got scripture from all over the country and from within the mission team itself as well. And one lady actually sent us an image of swords coming down from heaven and breaking the chains over Africa, and the sword actually representing the word of God. And that's a moment where I really got a massive reverence for the word of God and what God can actually do. And we just speak the word of God and pray the word of God. So we stood in front of this temple and we prayed the word of God. And things have changed. I mean, it's 3 years later, me and Chris saw a documentary on Egypt the other day, where they said that basically the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt at the moment, the way I understand it, are actually outlawed, and they are not in charge. They are actually the persecuted minority. So massive things have happened in Egypt. I'm excited, even though maybe we can't see it in Africa at the moment in the natural. I'm excited just for the spiritual thing that happened. And I think the big thing that I took out of that mission, I mean, up until probably about a few weeks ago, I didn't know why did I go? Because I always thought, you know, who am I to go on this mission? Like, they should have chosen some hectic guy, like Billy Graham or some hectic guys to come break these things, man. They're these spiritual warriors. I'm not a spiritual warrior. Those guys must come break those things. I'm just average old me. And I was talking to Chris the one day, and he actually said, Ian, why do you think we were chosen to break this hectic thing, this thing that was probably one of the biggest spiritual towers over Africa ever to be have been declared. Why do you think we were chosen? And I actually got Holy Spirit just put it in my heart that we were chosen because we were unqualified. Because God wanted to show that the highest, most hectic thing that could have happened to this world could be destroyed by one of His lowest servants, you know. And I think it's so easy for us to think that we need to be qualified. Like I said, you need to get to the spiritual thing. You need to get to the spiritual place where God can use you and where you can actually become effective, and where you're going to, now I'm going to get into the kingdom. Now I'm going to start working for the kingdom. And God's just saying, rubbish. I just want a willing heart. I just want you to say yes. I just want you to follow after me. I don't care what your qualifications are. I don't care if you think you're good enough or if you are good enough even. Maybe you have the ability. I don't want to use it. I want to show you that I'm strong. It says, "In my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'd rather boast in my infirmities." So, yeah, that's my message for today. I've got a few extra scriptures that I felt. I just want to almost pray over you this morning, and if you'll allow me to just almost in a way, just to close your eyes, and then I'd just like to pray this over you, because I think it's so easy for us to just walk away here and go, he said we must be qualified, but how must we be qualified? Nothing has happened in the spiritual. So when we speak God's sword, it actually cuts through those things in our lives. So I just want to bring the sword to you guys a bit today. In Romans 8 verse 31 it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Not that I speak in regard to need, For I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he said to me, this is God speaking personally to you now, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.